This is season 2 of the Bhagavad Gita reading. So let's start with the first chapter of Yoga of Knowledge, Sankhya and Yoga. In the first chapter, it starts with Krishna rebuking Arjuna. Sanjaya said to him who was thus overwhelmed with pity and sorrow and whose eyes were dim with tears, Krishna spoke these words. O Arjuna, at the moment of crisis, wherefore have you got this weakness, un-Aryan-like, disgraceful, which is not conducive to the attainment of heaven? During his very first utterance in these verses, the core of the message of the Gita was delivered with tremendous force. Shri Krishna addresses him as Arjuna, which means pure in heart, implying that despite this quality, he became faint-hearted instead of showing valor and zeal. It is quite unbecoming of him. Krishna was surprised about this change in Arjuna. The term Arya refers to highly evolved and cultured man who adheres to Dharma. Arjuna, in whom manliness was full all along, suddenly sunk into unmanliness at the moment of a crisis. The Lord rouses him from the setback. Shri Krishna classified Arjuna's mind as confused. Consequently, all the utterances of such confused Arjuna would be meaningless and devoid of discrimination. Hence, he is termed as an Aryan. The message of Krishna is that the goal of life or success cannot be attained by the weak. To be firm in body, mind, and character is born of strength. This world and the next are for the strong. Strength brings forth right conduct and straightforwardness, leading to enjoyment of this world and reaching Godhood. All divine traits have their source in strength. Strength is life, weakness is death. The three words used by Lord are Anaryajashtam, Asvagaryam, and Akirtikaram. They mean respectively three types of person. 1. Thoughtful, whose aim is to bliss. 2. Virtuous, whose aim is to achieve heaven by performing honest action. And 3. Ordinary, who want name and fame in this world. Arjuna is indicted that he belongs to none of these because of his afflictions. The man who fails to face a critical situation, speaking and acting irreverently, is denounced unmanly. But Arjuna was not really made of that stuff. He was a vanquisher of his foes. The Lord seems to have deliberately used the strongest language to make him out of his stupor and to goad him to perform his primary duty, to wage war for which he came fully prepared. He says, O Partha, yield not to unmanliness. It does not befit you. Cast off this petty faint-heartedness and arise, O Arjuna. The use of the words Partha and Kaunteya with reference to Arjuna is with a purpose. These words mean the son of Pritha, Kunti, who is Krishna's father's sister. Krishna thus attempts to show his nearness to him and thereby convey something special to him for his welfare. The next chapter is Arjuna's doubts are unresolved. Arjuna says, But O Krishna, how can I strike Bhishma and Drona with arrows in this battle, for they are worthy of worship? It is better to live in this world by begging than to slay these honored teachers. By slaying them, I would enjoy in this world pleasures which are stained with blood. I can hardly tell which is better, to fight or not to fight, that we should conquer them or they should conquer us. The very sons of Dhritarashtra, after slaying whom we do not even wish to stand facing us. With my nature stricken with weakness of sentimental pity, and my mind bewildered about my duty, I request you to tell me for certain what is good for me. I am your disciple. Please teach me. I seek refuge in you. For even after obtaining an undisputed sovereignty and an affluent kingdom on this earth and lordship over the gods, I do not see any means of driving away this grief, which is drying up my senses. Arjuna wondered as to how he was being asked to fight Bhishma and Drona, who were not his enemies but respected elders and teachers worthy of worship. When even using his soft words against them, he was considered sin. Arjuna was surprised about his being exhorted to wage war against them with arrows. Arjuna continued that it would be better for him to eat food by begging, which was most unbecoming for a man of warrior class, than to slay his noble elders on the Kaurava side. He felt that if they were killed, his subsequent enjoyment would be stained with their blood and therefore not worth anything, and the life in this world would be nothing but hell. When an evil comes to us in the form of evil, it is easier to do away with. But then when it comes in the form of something good, it becomes difficult. Ravana could not be recognized by Sita because he disguised himself as a sage, while Krishna killed Kansa and others while recognizing them as evil forces. Similarly, Arjuna perceives that it is virtuous not to wage war, and it is evil to wage war. Hence, Krishna had to give an elaborate explanation to convince Arjuna about the real wisdom. When sentiment overtook and clouded his understanding, Arjuna lost the faculty of judgment and started doubting as to who should conquer whom. Realizing his complete helplessness and showing the nature of his duty and admitting his capacity to face the crisis, the challenges presented before him, he surrendered himself to Hare Krishna. He confessed before the Lord that he was his disciple and requested him to tell him for certain what was good for him. Arjuna did not ask for metaphysics, as he is not the seeker of knowledge. As a man of action, he asked for the law of action, for his dharma, for what he has to do in difficulties. Master, what would you have me do? That is his question. Arjuna made it clear that in spite of the victory in the war, which will any case bring him an affluent kingdom on this earth and lordship over gods, he could not see any way to drive his grief away, which was eating away his vitals. He appealed to the Lord to show him a definite way which would remove his grief and guide him in his dharma. Sanjaya said, having thus spoken to Krishna, Arjuna, the destroyer of foes, said to Krishna, "I will not fight," and became silent. O descendant of Bharata, Dhritarashtra, then Krishna, as if smiling, spoke these words to Arjuna, depressed in the midst of two armies. So even after taking refuge in the Lord and seeking his grace, the great warrior Arjuna decidedly told Bhagwan that he would not fight and became silent and quiet. Becoming silent and quiet in the face of crisis was an expression of bewilderment and helplessness. Arjuna already made up his mind not to fight the war without even waiting for the advice out. This indicates the confused state of mind. In this situation, the teacher's task becomes all more difficult to convince the student. Sri Krishna's virtual smile indicates that he saw through Arjuna's attempt at rationalization of his wishful thinking. The attitude of the Savior Lord, who knows all sins and sorrows of the suffering humanity, is one of tender pity and thoughtful understanding, and not of reproach or censure.